Our reading is from the book of Exodus, the 16th chapter. Bob, it's all yours.
Then Moses said to Aaron, "Say to the whole congregation of the Israelites, 'Draw near to the Lord, for he has heard your complaining.'" And as Aaron spoke to the whole congregation of the Israelites, they looked toward the wilderness, and the glory of the Lord appeared in a cloud. The Lord spoke to Moses and said, "I have heard the complaining of the Israelites. Say to them, 'At twilight you shall eat meat, and in the morning you shall have your fill of bread. Then you shall know that I am the Lord your God.' In the evening quails came up and covered the camp, and in the morning there was a layer of dew around the camp. When the layer of dew lifted, there on the surface of the wilderness was a fine flaky substance, as fine as frost on the ground. When the Israelites saw it, they said to one another, 'What is it?' For they did not know what it was. Moses said to them, 'It is the bread that the Lord has given you to eat.'"
Thank you, Bob. Manna. That's what God gave them. Manna. Some kind of stuff in the middle of the desert. Now the Israelites, but they weren't really Israelites then. They were still nomads searching for their homeland, searching for the promised land. And they're out in the middle of the desert. They're escaping from Egypt and hundreds of years of slavery and oppression. And they're on their way somewhere else. Somewhere blessed, somewhere God wanted them to be. And in between, they're stomping through this desert. And they're getting hungry. So hungry, in fact, that before this... I'll play Monty Hall. Going to be buying new batteries this week. You stay there. So desperate, in fact, they were so hungry that they were ready to turn back to Egypt and go back to slavery, where at least they got something to eat. Now, how desperate do you have to be to want to turn your back on freedom and go back into slavery? You've got to have such a deep emptiness inside you to consider that as an option. And so it was, they were out there in the desert. And God tells Moses what to do. And he provides what in the Hebrew is called manna. And the literal translation of manna from Hebrew is, "What is this?" I kid you not. That's what manna means in Hebrew. What is this? And can't you just see that? Moses said, "Don't worry. Next morning, God's got the menu all planned out." And you get up next morning and they say, "You see all that white stuff on the ground? Pick it up and eat it." What is this? And isn't it just like God to take a word that's uttered somewhat in derision and make it sacred and holy? What is this? And today, when we get something unexpected, what do we say? It's manna. Manna from heaven. And some of us don't, we mostly don't even realize the root of the term. But the root of the term is a sacred question. A question we should ask ourselves. Anytime we find ourselves suddenly blessed, we should ask ourselves, what is this? What is this? You know, you don't know where your next meal is going to come from. It happened to me when we first started seminary. We had no baby food in the house. Teresa and I had no money. I just bought all my textbooks. And we had a little one-year-old. And a knock came on the door. And the folks that moved into the apartment we left that was their only connection with us at the time, showed up, and this woman had a big bag full of baby food. 5 minutes after Teresa and I had wrung our hands and said, what are we going to do? And prayed for it. 5 minutes. And she said, our kid doesn't eat baby food anymore. We thought maybe you could use this. And let me tell you, Teresa and I thought, what is this? And I've heard some of the others of you with similar stories. When something came to you in your moment of most profound need, and there it was, and it came from God, and it was your manna. Now, I flew down to South Carolina this weekend to do my nephew's wedding. My nephew is married. The first of the grandchildren has been wed off. Married a beautiful southern girl named Tiffany. Wonderful girl. It's a 2.5-hour drive from where I was staying with my brother to where we were having the wedding. And we had a lot of time in the car, and then we had a lot of time gathering around tables with people to talk. And I found myself surrounded by people who didn't know any of you or knew very few of you. And all of these people were non-churchgoers. And I started telling stories about some of the things we have done and some of the things we've been through together. And I didn't share any embarrassing details, don't worry. But these stories included, well, members of the band and I singing a cappella around a dear friend's deathbed. A counselee of mine going off and getting himself murdered. Baptisms. Rebirths, rescues, heartbreaking losses. And the stories started tumbling out of the things we've done together as a family. And they were all true. And they were all wonderful. And I know not a person around that table could have believed that we had been through all the things we'd been through. And then yesterday, as my nephew is standing there in front of me and we're waiting for his bride to get down the stairs, out in the garden, in the sunshine, in a place that had been a college started by Methodists that was now something of a wedding chapel, in this beautiful location on a sunny southern day, I looked straight across at my nephew and I thought about the little boy that I used to babysit when I was in college at Brockport. And he was just a lost little boy whose dad and mom had broken up. And I was his male connection for a while. And I'm watching him. And I'm helping him get married. And I think to myself, what is this? What is this that I get to do such beautiful things that my life gets to be so rich and so full? What is this that God brings us through so many heartbreaks and disappointments and joys and wonders? What is this that God takes our past and looks at our future and gives us what we need right now for the journey? What is this? About a third of the way through the ceremony, I made the fatal error of looking over my nephew's shoulder and catching sight of his mother's face. Now, Zach, my nephew, and I had a pact at the beginning. Neither one of us looks at his mother because his mother used to cry at The Price is Right. Not, mind you, not when the woman won the showcase, when the woman was called down. But I looked over Zach's shoulder and I saw his mom. And etched on her face was every bit of pain and joy she'd experienced with this boy through his almost 29 years. What is that? To be sitting there in the southern sunshine and watching her boy all grown up and moving on with his adult life. And I choked up. I was going to cry. I was very fortunate that he married a girl whose nervous reaction was to giggle. Because just as I choked up, she went, "Tip!" And she was so darn cute. Oh, she was so darn cute that my little turned into a. And what was that? For God again, give me what I needed right at the moment and giving them what they needed. And in your life, you know it too. I can tell by the looks you're giving me. You've had plenty of opportunities to say too, what is this that God has given me? How is it that I'm making it through this? Or maybe you're at your point in a life, all the rest of you can call it up again, where you cried out of hunger and you wished you could turn back. And you thought the wilderness was going to overwhelm you. Maybe you're at that point in your life right now. But I'm here to tell you, this church is manna. Oh, this faith community is so beautiful. I mean, did you hear, where are you, Barry? Did you hear Barry singing today? Barry doesn't do that. Y'all know what Barry's been through. And this morning, he gave us manna. This morning, he fed us from his own heart and soul. Barry, I hope you can still drum in a minute. What is this? Is a sacred question. And the word manna is sacred precisely for that reason. Because it's not just a fact, but it's a question, a sacred question we should all ask in our own lives. Every single time that we make it through, or we smile and laugh, or we have a hand to hold when we're crying and in despair, every time we're reaching out in desperation, we should ask ourselves, what is this? And the answer is, this is the love that God has for you. Amen.